Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Savior, Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem, the Christ child. Our sermon text today is part of the gospel reading from St. Luke, from chapter 2, the end of the chapter. There are two accounts here. One is the account of Simeon, who waited for the Christ child in the temple, and the other is of Anna, another aged saint who awaited the Christ child. And our sermon will focus on the former, but we'll hear all of it because it is our gospel reading for today. I would invite you now to rise for the reading of the sermon text. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. So far, our text. And let us pray. Lord, what an amazing thing it is to think of these people who were given the privilege of seeing the Christ child, holding him in their arms. And as we sing, we ask today that you would send him among us through your word so that we may hold him by the arms of faith. Strengthen our faith and our trust in every promise that you have made to us so that throughout our lives we stand ready to share the good news that sins are forgiven and eternal life awaits, and so that we are ready to greet you on that last and great day. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Twenty-eight years ago, fellow redeemed, I was preparing to go to the seminary. I had just finished Northwestern College in Watertown, Wisconsin, and I was thinking of driving my banana boat, that's what I called my 1978 Buick Century. It was yellow and about 6 yards long at least. I probably could have made it all the way to Mankato, to the seminary, if I had had enough motor oil, but I didn't. So I decided to buy a better car. And I went to various dealerships, and eventually I found one and purchased it, and I walked away with title in hand and the promise of a dependable car finally. I was so excited about that. 34 years ago, I walked into my dormitory room at Michigan Tech. And I was so excited, a new life as a freshman in college. Turns out my roommate was a Christian. And he placed the promises of God in my hand, told me about Jesus whenever he could. And some months later, the Lord placed his promises into my heart by giving me faith, so that I walked in the new eternal life of a Christian, living with the promise of God in hand. Much more exciting. The promise of a nice car can't begin to compete or compare with the promise of God. The promise of a nice car is based on an earthly thing that I know from experience quickly rusts and falls apart. But the promise of God, that's a promise that is based on eternal truth. It depends upon the eternal God who never changes his mind and never lies. And he's never wrong. Living with promise in hand. I want that to be our theme this morning. And this theme isn't about an earthly promise that falls, that fades, that passes away. It's about why we need the promise of God and how God places his promise into our hands and what God promises for our future. In our text this morning, we meet Simeon, and we're well acquainted with his story. We often sing his words right after communion in our service. Simeon is there in God's temple in Jerusalem. He's a Hebrew. And all his life he has been struggling with the Ten Commandments every day. He felt the sting of the law. He saw his body aging and knew that he was afflicted with the sin of Adam and that one day he would die. He remembered the sins of his youth, the sins of his adult life. And he labored under the weight of them, and he didn't find any refuge whatsoever for his weary soul when he heard the law of God preached. Simeon knew why we need the promise of God. Are our thoughts like Simeon's? Do we recognize the danger that we sinners face? Each Sunday, the law is proclaimed from this pulpit. But do we hear what it tells us? Do we really recognize that every sin mocks God? Every sin is an insult to Him. Do we not fear the God who laid waste to the whole world in the flood? Don't we care that God is our inevitable and all-seeing judge? Where can we turn when we see that law that points out our sins? We cannot turn aside the threats made in the law. We cannot get away from them, and God does not respect ignorance. God condemns all unrighteousness. Every sin, all unholiness, every impurity, every evil thing. He condemns it all. He will not have it. This is what the law says. Do we hear it? And this is why we need the promise of God. Simeon was living with that promise in hand. It says the Holy Spirit was upon him. And that means that by faith, he knew of God's gospel, the good news. He remembered God's promise made to Abraham to make a great nation of him and to bless through his descendant all the peoples of the earth. He remembered the promise of Eve's seed who would crush that deceiving serpent's head. These promises reminded him that God was about to work his salvation, and so Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, it says. It seems contradictory, I think, to many people that God would threaten death to the sinner and promise love for sinners in the same word. But as Paul says, brothers, just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. The law does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on a promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. In other words, the promise of God does not contradict the threats of the law. The law requires fulfillment. The law threatens death for failure and cannot offer life. But the promise of God gives life. It consoles and fulfills the law. And it is accomplished. Paul writes that the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. This is what Paul means when he writes, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly, so that we could be saved from our sins. This then is why we need the promise of God. God is the consolation of Israel, just as he promised. God is the one who gives us eternal life. Living with promise in hand means living by the promises of our Savior God. Living with promise in hand means that the law is fulfilled in that singular child that Mary and Joseph brought to present in the temple. Simeon had been told by the Spirit to await this child, that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What joy he must have had in that moment. What joy it brings in our hearts to be presented in the Word with that same child, our Savior, our God, Jesus Christ. Simeon recognized his Savior because the Spirit had told him that the Christ child would be coming. Because he heard and read and recited the word of God every day. And by that word he believed. And the promise of God was his, personally. By that word he believed the promise that God had made to his ancestors. And we too, we recognize our Savior by living in the promise of God. And we have it in hand. As he did. Looks a little different. But the Lord has given us his word. This is how God places his promise into our hands. Simeon had the promise because the Lord, through the prophets, clearly says that Christ would do this. The very child that Simeon held in his arms. And Simeon knew that the promise was his. To hold, to keep, to cherish. And at the same time, he reminds us that many in his nation would not hear what the prophets had said and would turn away from this child and would speak against the very Son of God. But you, fellow redeemed, God places his promise into your hands every time you hear the word of God. That infant son, that Jesus, was there to accept the required punishment for every lawbreaker, to take away the sin of the world. He baptized you. He put his name upon you. He sent his Spirit into your hearts so that you know. He sent his Spirit into your hearts as a guarantee of what is to come. This grace, it says, was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous through faith, Paul says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Surely living by the promise of God. The promise of God in Simeon's hand. It is a joyful thing. Even in suffering, Paul wrote, we are living with God's promise in hand. And this is why Simeon took the child in his arms and so joyously proclaimed, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Living with promise in hand, living by the promise in Simeon's hand means that we can rejoice in God's Son, our Savior. Your brothers and sisters, living with the promise in hand also means knowing what God promises for our future. It's not a future controlled by our own feeble efforts and sin-filled hearts. We're not destined for destruction, but rather for eternal life with that promise of God, Jesus Christ. This was the future to which Simeon departed in peace. But what did Simeon mean? Did Simeon mean that he would depart to seek his own way from God? Absolutely not. He found new meaning in that law that had been proclaimed to him all his life, that law that Christ fulfilled in his place. He was freed to offer works of thanksgiving to God, to praise God for the gift of salvation. Since we have these promises of God, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. That law has a new meaning to you and me. We strive for righteousness, not as a payment for sin. That'd be an insult to Jesus. No, we thank him for that promise in Simeon's hand. And this morning, let us also depart in peace, living with promise in hand. For in keeping with his promise, as the scriptures say, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. And let us not be led away by the worthless promises of this world that fail every day, but instead live. Live with the promise in hand. Live with the promise in hand and depart in peace, until he should return or take us home. In his name, his glorious name, amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.